You're listening to a Clare FM podcast. Morning Focus broadcasts weekdays from 9am to 12 midday.
Our next guests are a team in an individual sport. They've much in common. They're both fine triathletes dedicated to their sport, and both have also overcome difficulties in their lives. One, a series of tragedies that would knock anyone for six. The other, a debilitating illness that left him completely blind. He is Dunica McCarthy from West Cork, who is now aiming to represent Ireland at the Paralympic Games in Tokyo next year. Well, one of those hoping to be his guide in that race is Shannon man Stephen Teeling Lynch.
I think the phone rings at the right time, to be honest. It was just pure chance, pure luck.
That's Stephen. Last summer, on short notice, he accepted an invitation to be Dunica's guide at the European Championships in Estonia.
Eamon Tilley, the high performance coach for the para athletes, he rang me up out of the blue. I think his brother is a guide as well, and he couldn't go to the European Championships in Estonia. And I didn't even know the race was on, to be honest. And he says, "What are you doing next week?" And I says, "Nothing much, I think." He says, "Can you travel?" I says, "Yeah, yeah." I didn't even ask the wife, and she just happened to be the European Championships, and just asked if I could come in and do a job. Thankfully, he hadn't seen any recent pictures about my belly and stuff. But yeah, I got lucky. I think the phone just rang, and just happened to meet a great bloke in Dunica, like, and the great team that was up there, like, and yeah, we went over. We did okay.
The pair did better than okay, according to Dunica. They performed strong enough to allow him secure ranking points that move him that little bit closer to his goal of making the Paralympics.
Literally, I'd just flown back from Canada, from where I competed in another race, landed in Dublin Airport, met Stephen for the first time in Dublin Airport, and travelled straight from Dublin out to Estonia to compete in the European Championships. So, to be honest, like, we kind of hit it off from the very start. Like, he'd never guided someone in a triathlon before, and we had three days to actually prepare for probably my biggest race I'd ever raced. So, to be honest, he took it in a stride, and I think we got one run session in together, and one bike and two swims, and we performed extremely well.
Dunica only started competing at elite level in triathlon last summer. He needs a guide for his races, as he's completely blind and has been since the age of 10.
So I lost my sight at the age of 10. I'm 28 now, due to developing a form of leukemia, which damaged the optic nerves in my eyes. So it completely destroyed my eyesight. For me, it was very tough. So coming from the country, like, I would have been playing a lot of GAA and football, soccer, like, and I suppose when I lost my sight, that sport was really taken away from me, so it was very almost impossible for me to participate in a team sport with other people who were fully sighted. And to be honest, like, I lost a lot of my confidence after I lost my sight, and didn't even want to get out for a walk, to be honest, not even leave the couch, never mind going out doing a run or anything like that. And to be honest, it wasn't until I went to university and the kind of whole world of visually impaired sports was open to me. And that was through Vision Sports Ireland, which is the national governing body for blind sports.
The first sport Dunica turned to was blind football, and he represented and indeed captained Ireland in some of their first international competitions. But now the focus is triathlon, a tough physical test for anyone, and one that poses considerable challenges for blind competitors such as Dunica.
The category I compete in, it's called PTVI, so it's visually impaired and totally blind athletes. So basically for the entire race, so across all three, I need to be tethered to the guide. So basically in the swim, there's like a piece of elastic going from my leg to my guide's leg. So basically my guide swims alongside me, but just slightly ahead of me, so he can guide me through the water. So as I'm stroking with my arm in the swim, I can feel where my guide is, and similarly, if there's a turn coming up, he'll swim across me if it's a left turn, so I swim on his left, and if it's a right turn, he'll turn right, and I can feel the tether pull, so I know that there's a turn coming up. The guide can't swim no more than 1.5 metres ahead of the athlete, because otherwise the athlete is getting a draft off the guide. So it's obviously making it easier for the athlete to swim in the water. So that's not allowed. And similarly on the run, then the guide can't be seen to pace the athlete. So the guide can't run ahead of the athlete. So basically the athlete has to take the lead in the run as well. But the guide obviously is just there to give instruction. The bike's a tandem. So basically the guide is at the front, doing all the steering and the gears and everything, and then I'm on the back, pedaling like a lunatic.
You need to be stronger than the athlete, and that's not being disrespectful to the athlete, because as I said, you know, Dunica has the potential to be world class, and you know, you have to be strong to pull him because you're tied together in the swim. You have to be strong on the bike because you're on a tandem. And then you have to be strong on the run to be able to guide and communicate. And you know, communication takes energy. Like you know, I often say it's like being the co-pilot of the car, or, you know, of a rally driver. Like, okay, he might take a little bit more concentration to do the driving, but you know, you go through absolutely everything with him.
Stephen himself has had his own dreams of representing his country at the highest stage, and was approached to be Dunica's guide, given his own background in triathlon, one which saw him have hopes of qualifying for the Olympics in London in 2012.
Junior international, under 23 international, and I was, the year I kind of had a bad injury in kind of late 2011, I was due to make my senior debut, and we had the flights and everything booked to go to, I think it was a race in Czech Republic and Poland, and the girlfriend at the time, I hadn't really done very much with her, it was her birthday, we decided to go paintballing, running through the woods, and ripped all my ligaments in my ankle, and I was out for the bones of 2 years, and yeah, it was that. Yeah, I got high enough, was I good enough? You know, only God really knows that answer. The last few years have been tough, like dad passed away, 64 years of age, my sister 38 years of age, and Maliki, who passed away, he was just 40, like, you know, touching it, like, and, you know, my two dogs as well actually went as well during that time, which was probably the hardest part. But yeah, I think, you know, the phone rings at the right time, and I think people can sense that sometimes, and you know, it definitely needed it. And you know, I mentioned, you know, Dunica's attitude there, it's been hugely important, like, you just get on with it, like, and I definitely say I needed to be involved in that, like, you know, no matter what it is in life, whether you're working or whether you're, you know, your family or whatever, you have to have a very big why. So you need to have that why that gets you up in the morning, that why that gets you out to train, and that why that gets you to eat the right food, like, or else you start to disappear into that very grey, that very dark area, like, and you know, having the chance of a Paralympic berth at the Paralympic Games is a huge why, and yeah, I'm sure the people who have passed would love to see it happen, like, you know.
The quest for Tokyo is now driving them both. The games start in August of next year, and between now and then, there's around a year for Dunica to secure one of the 12 qualification places. Even if he does, there's no guarantee that Stephen would be with him on the start line. There's three others vying to be Dunica's guide, and the person best placed to give him the best possible result will be selected.
You know, I could do every race with him from now until 2 weeks before Tokyo and still not be the guide in Tokyo, and I'm okay with that. That's high performance sport. It isn't pretty sometimes, and you just have to accept it. As I said, I'd be quite happy if it's Owen or Dave or Brian or even somebody else to get to be his guide. The priority is the athlete. The priority is for Dunica to go over there and to achieve his potential and to get the best result possible. So if that's with me, happy days. If it's not, happy days. I'll still be there cheering him on.
And now the work continues by Dunica and others to make him the best possible athlete and to give him the best chance of being on the start line in Tokyo next year. To do that, he says, would be a dream come true.
It's very hard to describe, really. I've obviously already represented my country in B1 football, but like to represent your country at, I suppose, the highest level there is. Like, words can't really describe it. Like, even when I raced my first elite race last year in Eton Dorney in England, just wearing the Irish tri-suit for the first time was it was a really emotional situation. And I suppose at the start of a triathlon, it's a real razzmatazz about it. Like, there's music playing and trying to get athletes pumped up and stuff. But I was just sitting there with my head down and didn't let the situation overwhelm me, but I kind of appreciated how much work it took to get to the start line of an elite race and what it's involved in representing your country.
Best of luck to them. That's Donica McCarthy there at the end. Before that too, you heard from Stephen Teeling Lynch, Stephen from Shannon, Donica from West Cork, and the qualification process continues up until June of next year, so a long way to go yet for him to try and get onto the start line in Tokyo, but a lovely chap, and I really appreciate both of their help and the openness of both guys in sharing their stories with us this morning.
You're listening to a Clare FM podcast. Morning Focus broadcasts weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 midday.